I want to say a few things here. Number one is don't forget the prayer clock that is out back here in the foyer. Over as you go out, over to the right. You've probably seen it. And don't forget to sign up. If you've already signed up, you can sign up for more, right? You know, and we're just asking you to commit that time to the Lord and to be praying. And, you know, just pray your heart. We just want to lift that up. We need to be a praying church. We want to be a praying church. We're going to go forward in all of that. You know, we just got through with October, Take the Ground Back intercessory prayer. That was really wonderful. You know, I mean, I just say it was nothing short of fun. You know, it was just flat out fun. You know, I love intercession and I love intercessory prayer. You know, intercession is not praying about your needs. You can lift up your needs, you know, but you're standing in the gap for others. You know, and you're entering into giving yourself to the Lord so that you can enter into the spiritual warfare that is before us, so that God's purpose, calling, and will might be performed. He works through His church, and He works through His people. And so we want to lift that up, and, you know, the Lord will teach you and lead you in that. And so keep praying those things that we were praying about. And I of course, don't have to announce this right now, but I'm going to because it's on my heart. Our next time of intercessory prayer is going to be January. You know, we're going to do the month of January. That's going to be the 4th, the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. And our theme that we're praying is Seek the Face of God, Intercessory Prayer. Seek the Face of God, Intercessory Prayer. That's going to be in January. And you can be lifting that up and just praying about that as well. And so I just appreciate you doing just that. All right. So praise the name of the Lord. Let's turn back to where we were last week. I want to go back to this subject. I'm just not done with it. This is in Ephesians chapter 1. And the title of this message is The Spiritual Authority of the Believer. And I'm going to go right back to where we were looking here and read these scriptures and go forward from there. You know, how the Lord wants to use us. And one of the great places where God uses His people is in prayer. And this is not a message about prayer, but I want you to know that God wants to expand our horizons when it comes to the work of prayer. You know, many Christians only pray about what concerns them, or maybe if they got a loved one that's in great need, maybe it's a friend or a buddy or something like that. And this is about the extent of their prayer time. You know, but God has planned more for us. You know, and there's great weapons of God that are released by a believing prayer warrior. You know, someone that is believing God and praying, there's a great power that is being released, and many things are accomplished in the kingdom of God. And we want to be that people. And one of the works that the Spirit of God, one of the provisions that the Spirit of the Lord grants to us in walking with the Lord is that He enlightens the eyes of our heart. Let me read that scripture, and then I'll talk a little bit more on it. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I'll go on and talk about those three categories that he talks about here, about being enlightened. And I'll get to those in just 1 minute here, but I just want to make a few preliminary comments about this. I want you to know that this is the will of God and the promise of God for, I'm going to say it this way, the plain old ordinary believer, okay? This is not, you know, the role of the prophet. This is not, you know, the fivefold ministry or per se, but this is for us. This is for you. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the purpose and the will of God for you and I, that He wants to enlighten our hearts. Let me give you that particular word right there that we have. That word enlighten is the Greek word photozo, and it means this. It means to give light, and we could also use the word understanding. And we talked about, you know, visionary understanding that comes by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, this is to give light or to illuminate. To illuminate, you know, and when that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, it really empowers you in your prayer time. It gives leadership of the Holy Spirit. It gives direction from God. It's you being in tune with the mind of the Lord and how the Lord wants to lead you and guide you. And not only that, but that's also where you find a greater and more effective prayer taking place in your life. The enlightenment, it says right here. Let me read it again. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings this about. It's not caught up in some unusual or spiritual realm or any sort of thing like that. It's just the Holy Spirit ministering to you in your heart that causing you to have spiritual understanding. That's where we might say it this way, where the Word of God comes alive, right? You know, and that is your inheritance in the Lord. Now, you understand that when you come before the Lord, the work of the Spirit is through the heart, not through the intellect. Yes, we get intellectual understanding, but you can pursue intellectual understanding all day long, and you'll never grow closer to the Lord because you've learned more books of the Bible, or because you've learned the Greek language, or that you know Hebrew, or anything or like, or because you've read this commentary or that commentary. You might have a greater knowledge, an intellectual knowledge, but there's something I want you to understand. You'll never have more intimacy with the Lord in the midst of that, because that's not how the Lord brings intimacy. The way that the Spirit of God brings you and I into intimacy is that He makes Himself known to us. He makes Himself known to us. And the way that He does that is that He moves through your heart. That's how He moves. And so the way of the Spirit is through the heart. The way of man is simply through the intellect. I'm not saying that we ignore the intellect. For an example, I have to take up the Bible and read the Bible intellectually from that standpoint. But I'm not relying upon my intellect to know God. I'm looking for the Lord to make Himself known to me, and the way that He will make Himself known to me is through the heart. It's your heart. That's why the Holy Spirit is always dealing with our hearts. That's why He's always wanting to deal with our hearts. That's what we're always doing, is presenting our heart before the Lord. You know, we're allowing the searchlight of the Holy Spirit to come upon our hearts. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, then you're going to find not only Him dealing with your heart and moving in your heart, but you're going to find more of Him flowing in your heart. This is the way that this works. And then as a result of that, you know, my eyes are enlightened. Now, let me go on here. And let me give you key elements about how this enlightenment of the eyes of my heart take place. First of all, I want you to understand that this is for every believer. That means that it is for you, it is for me, it is for every believer in the Lord. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And now I want to make a comment about that, and that is that clarity of vision comes through the practice of expectation of faith. I talked about that a little bit last week. The clarity of this vision comes through the practice of the expectation of faith. You know, the very fundamental practice of faith, moving faith from a philosophy or from a doctrine into a practice. And what it looks like is that it's an expectation before the Lord. You know, when I say I believe God, then I'm expecting from the Lord. And when I believe upon the promises of God, you know, I read that promise, I pray over that promise, and then what do I walk in? What is the condition of my heart? What is the condition of my mind? I'm in expectation. Now, that's the fundamental practice of faith for the believer, is walking in that expectancy. I'm going to bring in another element with that, and I'll talk about it more at a later point. But it's also the point of receiving from God. It's very important that you understand that receiving is an act of faith. Before things are manifested, before promises are manifested, you receive them by faith. That's how you receive the promises of God, how you receive what is spoken to you through the word of the Lord. You know, and what does that look like? Well, it can look like a lot of things, but, you know, it's coming before the Lord. You know, I can reiterate that promise. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, it's giving thanksgiving to God. It's blessing the Lord. It's praising the Lord. But it's a position of heart And the position of mind is that I'm receiving the promise from Almighty God. You know, I'm not coming before God and I'm begging him all over again. Begging doesn't work. I know. I used to be an expert beggar, right? You know, I could get awful pitiful before God, right? You know, get awful pitiful before God. You know, and I'm going to move the heart of God, but based upon how pitiful. You know, I told you that story. I'm going to tell it to you again. You know, I was on my face, you know, praying, and and that's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with being emotional before God. But this was more than that. You know, I mean, I was a pitiful mess. You know, we move the hearts of other people sometimes because we get them to feel sorry for us, right? You know, and it did. So we do that, and we think we're going to move God that way. I'm telling you right now, God's not impressed. He's not impressed, nor is he moved. Well, as I'm doing all of this and this is all going on, I decided to take a breath, right? And about the minute I closed my mouth, the Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly. And he said to me, he said, "Are you through?" I learned something that day. And I haven't done it since, right? I haven't done it since. I haven't begged God. You know, I haven't got real pitiful with God or anything like that. Ever since the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me so clearly, "Are you through?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm through." And then I found it in my heart to begin to receive, to just begin to give thanks to him and to praise him. You know, where I put my feet down spiritually, right? You know, put your feet down spiritually on promises of God. You know, plant your feet down firmly on the position of faith before the Lord. You know, and then stand there. You know, stand in that faith before the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, says, "Well, now, what are you supposed to do? You pray about something one time and then you never pray for it again?" You know, all of that stuff. Don't you get tied up in all of that. It's the attitude of heart in which you're praying it. It's the attitude of heart. I can ask the same thing 1,000 times before the Lord, and it's the attitude of my heart that is what is important before the Lord. I may be reiterating my faith. I may be reiterating my faith. I may be back to square one and saying it all over again, and I haven't established faith in my heart yet at all. You know, so it has nothing to do with how many times that you ask God to fulfill a promise or you keep bringing it before the Lord. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, you know, this is called the sword of the Spirit, right? The word of the Lord. And this is how we engage warfare before Almighty God. You know, so, I keep bringing the promise before the Lord. You know, "Oh, Lord, you said," and then I will read the promise, and then I begin to pray the promise, and I begin to thank the Lord for bringing forth the promise. You understand, this is where you will see a lot of power being released in your life. You'll see a lot of power being released in your prayer, that you will not be being moved only by emotion. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotion, okay? There's just absolutely nothing wrong with emotion. But, you know, if I really want to engage in things, I don't want to be simply ruled by thought. I don't want to simply be ruled by thought. You know, I want to be ruled by faith. And I want to have faith in something concrete. And what that is for me and for you is the covenant of Almighty God. You know, the whole word of the Lord, the truth of God, the word is the truth of Almighty God. I don't care what you're looking at. I don't care what you're seeing. I don't care what's going on before you. It does not matter what is taking place. This is the truth of God's word. This is his covenant. This is who he is. This is what he has done. This is what he will do. You know, so, you know, that brings you into a total different dimension. And when you begin to walk in that, when you begin to walk in, there may be hopeless situations, hopeless circumstances. You know, our God is the God of the impossible, right? And that's the will of God, is to move in the realm of the impossible. Do we know that? Do we know that the will of God is to move in the realm of the impossible? Do we know that it's the will of God to bring down walls and barriers and fortresses and those things that are of a spiritual character and a spiritual nature that we can't do anything about? But oh, yes, we can do something about them. We truly can do. Maybe not in the realm of the flesh can we do anything about them, but can we do things about them in the realm of the Spirit? You know, and so this is all part of the equipping of Almighty God. You know, that you may have I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, let me go on a little bit further here with that. You know, I'm going to give you some elements that have to do with how, you know, you can receive this more and more in your walk before the Lord. You know, now, number one is, as I said this, is that, you know, clarity of vision comes through the practice of expectation of faith. You'll be amazed at how many things will change just by you taking up expectation. Expectation. And receiving from the Lord, activating your faith. But here we go. Here's number one. Number one is allow the Lord to deal with your heart. Allow the Lord to deal with your heart. How many times have I spoken this so many times in so many different messages? You know, is take time with the Lord. Take time with the Lord. Receive what he has for you. Oh, yes, he does. He's got many things that he wants to say to you, that he wants to speak to you. Oh, yes, he does want to talk to you. Make no mistake about it. You know, and if you take time with the Lord, then you're going to learn and discern the voice of the Spirit. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. You will learn and discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, now how am I going to learn that? He'll make it known to you. He'll make it known to you. But, you know, you and I, we've got to take a little time. And that's a battle in itself, isn't it? There's a warfare that's around us to rob us and to hinder us, to keep us from having time with the Lord. I just want to promote that real quick here with us. Take time with the Lord. And when you take time with the Lord, walk into that taking time with the Lord with a spirit and an attitude of expectation. Right? You know, that's what's happened so much to devotional times. I got to be honest with you. That whole concept is not very biblical within itself, right? To devote is to give yourself, right? You know, so people, oh, I got my devotional time. And that's their relationship with the Lord. I got my 20 minutes. You know, that happens. It's from about 7:30 on right there, you know, and I read a scripture and I got my little prayer list and I pray for people and bang, I'm gone. Most of those people remain the same all their life. They think they're giving to God what God wants them to give them, but they're not really giving to God what God wants from them at all. You know? Now, I'm going to move into another area here that I want you to ponder this before the Lord that is so important. This is life-changing concept, and I want you to hear that. It has to do with the work of self. Let me read this to you. I wrote this down as a note. You know, self is a completely different subject than any one particular sin. You know, that's how most people deal with going forward the Lord, is that they think it's about a sin or this sin or that sin. And then that's what they deal with before the Lord, is this sin and that sin. But do you know there's a greater issue here? It's the work of self. It hasn't got anything to do with any one particular sin, but it has to do with the issue of self. There's many people that give a sin to God, but they hold on to self in their lives. And because they hold on to self in their lives, there are powers of God that have never been manifested and otherwise would be manifested. Did you know that deep ingrained issues that you may have that you're dealing with in your life, that the answer before the Lord is not trying harder or trying to find some key element, but it's the surrender of self. This is the great going forward place of the believer. To where you're not just committing what you're doing, You're committing who you are before the Lord. Now, let me give you an example of that. Will you just mark this? And so you go over here into Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to see this. This is where great advancement in the kingdom of God comes about in the life of the believer. It's amazing that we really hardly ever hear anything about it. We just talk about, well, give your heart to Jesus when you get saved, that type of thing. And then from that point forward, we just deal with various sins that are revealed to us or being made known to us. And we give them to God, and we give those sins to God, and we repent before the Lord, but we still hold on to ourselves. And this is where the great advancement comes in God's kingdom. Let me show you what I mean right here. Now, you're over here now, over here in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin here in verse 20. And it says, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Now, look at verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, look at this. You lay aside, here it is, the old self, which is being... Now look, if you walk in that old self, can I tell you where your conflicts are at? Can I tell you biblically where you're finding conflict in your life if you're still holding on to the old self, which is you're still holding on to you instead of receiving the new self that's in Jesus? Let me show you right here, you know, that in your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know, just in a nutshell, let me just put it this way. You know, that means that we just keep running after everything but Jesus. We just keep running after, you know, it's the lust of deceit. Oh, you know, if just this would happen in my life, oh, how happy I would be. Oh, if just that would happen over here, you know, then all of my problems would be solved. Oh, with this, oh, entertainment, you know, I need to be entertained. I need to be amused. I need, you know, this and I need that. It's called the lust of deceit. And that comes through the corruption of walking in what the Bible calls the old self. That's how you live. Now, you can even give your heart to Jesus, but that's where you're still caught, right there. And that's why, and the only thing that one does is deals with, oh, okay, that sin, I give it to God. But, you know, I don't ever really see any changes in my life. You know, I don't know why God doesn't really change me. Why am I not seeing the transforming power of God? Why am I not holding, seeing more of Jesus in my life? You know, I sense it, I feel it, that there's something holding me back. I don't even know what it is. I can tell you what it is. It's self. And once you surrender up self, then you will find an open door that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that will do marvelous and glorious and wondrous things of liberty and freedom and of revelation and the eyes of your heart being opened like you never dreamed. I don't know why this is not preached. I mean, as a whole, I don't hear hardly anybody preaching it. But why are they not preaching? It's very clear here in the word of the Lord. He wants you to give yourself to him. Now, let me go on here. You know, so it goes on and aside the old self, which being corrupted, look here, in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know, in other words, it's a deception. You follow me? It's like that devotion time. Yeah, that's right. That is a deception. To think that I give my 20 minutes, my 30 minutes, my 15 minutes, and bang, the rest of the day belongs to me. Right? Man, I do what I want. I live my way. Right? I gave God his part. Really? I mean, when we really lay it out and think about it, isn't it crazy? Isn't it absolute crazy that we give God 20 minutes and we call it a devotion time, and then the rest of it's mine? Right? I just kind of go do what I want to go do because me is still in charge. That's called self. I'm not saying that you can't go out and be entertained. We don't have any problem not being entertained enough. Now, do we really? Okay, we're not going to get into that one, are we? You know, we just don't have enough entertainment, right? Or amusements in our lives. You know, there's just not enough of it. We just need more of it. I'm being sarcastic. I felt like you already knew that. No. I don't think that's a real problem, right? I don't think that's a real problem at all. There's not. It's not a time limit thing. You know what it is that you're giving yourself to God. That's not just simply giving yourself to certain activities of God. That can be a part of it, but it's giving self, the surrender of self, before the Lord. Now, look on. And then verse 23 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means you're going to be directed and think and feel and see in a different way. Oh, okay. In the spirit of your mind. That might be where this river of the eyes of your heart being enlightened might flow. Right there in the midst of that. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at verse 24. And put on the new self. Now, let me show you a little bit about what Scripture has to say about the new self right here, okay? Look at this, verse 24 right here. And put on the new self. Now, that belongs to you and Jesus. That new self belongs to you and Jesus. Now, look at the description of the new self, which in the likeness of God. Wow. In the likeness of God. You know, that's where Christian character comes from. All right? That's where real, true Christian character comes from. That's where the character of the old self starts giving way to the character of the new self. And you start bearing the fruit of that character. But where is the beginning place? The giving up of self is the beginning place. Now, let me read on. Here's again in verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created, look at this, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So these are the things that begin to bear fruit in the life of the believer that surrenders up himself. What begins to happen? You understand righteousness? The manifestation of righteousness begins to, the fruits of righteousness begin to flow, and they begin to overcome the old man and the old way and the way of the flesh and the way of the world. It begins to manifest new things in our lives, you know, which is fruits of righteousness that I could never, ever bear any other way. But I'm bearing it. And that's when I say I'm not producing it, I'm bearing it. And then notice that it talks about true holiness. This is where holiness comes from. God's called us to be a holy people. And this is where holiness comes from. You know, that's where true devotion comes. You know, a true devotion is a pursuit after Jesus. Not a devotional time. A true devotion is a pursuit after Jesus. I gave up that devotional time stuff a long time ago. Okay? Man, is that a good condemner. Man, that'll condemn you all over the place. You know, this morning I don't have time to do it. Or this evening I skipped it. Oh, gosh, you know, I had so promised God that I was going to do that. What a dirty little rat I am. You know, I just don't love the Lord, you know. You're setting yourself up for condemnation. Have a life that pursues Jesus, that pursues the Lord. Not based on a time frame, but it's based upon a life of pursuit after the heart of the Lord. You know, and then you spend 5 minutes here, you spend 10 minutes here, you spend an hour over here, but you're not counting time. You're not counting time. It's a wrong concept. It's a wrong concept. And what it will really do is it'll hinder your advancement into the kingdom of God. Because you, if you practice it successfully, it will also bring into your heart a false peace that you call that being right with God. But the rest of it belongs to me. I do what I want. I mean within reason, right? Okay, I do what I want. Me is still in control. Now see, as long as that happens, as long as that goes on, we're still stuck in the old self. That's where we're living. You know, and we understand what's fighting against us constantly in our Christian walk and our Christian life is the deceitfulness of lust. First is it's a deception, okay? And then second, that it's a lust. And lust, you know, that doesn't mean sexual anything. It's a lust, you know, of the flesh. And where we end up pursuing other things and all other things other than in Jesus. I'm not saying you can't do anything else. I didn't say that. But you know what will happen to us is that the Holy Spirit will govern our time and He'll govern our heart. You know, a matter of fact, what will happen is there will be things that I used to amuse myself that I'll be bored with and I don't really want to do. You know what? I got to go to my prayer closet. I got to get in the Word here, you know, because that's where my delight is now. You know, my delight is not in this and it's not in that, you know, and there's nothing see, we take it to be either something's wrong or there's nothing wrong with that. And we think, well, it's okay then, right? You know, well, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with doing that? That's not the issue. That's not the issue, whether there's anything wrong with it or not. The issue has to do with self versus the new self, which is made in the likeness of Jesus, right? That begins to rule and reign over my heart. So you understand that this is the great gateway into the enlightenment of the eyes of our heart. All those things that the Lord is wanting to say to you, all those things in which the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. Do you remember me preaching a concept that, and I'm going to go back to it here for too long, I think, because I feel it moving on me, called the divine wooing? You remember me talking about the divine wooing? You know, the divine wooing is the love affair, truly the love affair that goes on between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ that is revealed by the Holy Spirit, that there is a divine wooing, a love affair of the Lord. This transcends knowing that Jesus loves you. Okay? The divine wooing of the Lord is an experiencing of the love of God that's in a different way than I just know, and I can tell you that I know that Jesus loves me. No. I'm experiencing the love of God. I'm entangled in a glorious, mighty, wonderful love affair that is in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. An intimacy. Intimacy comes from God. Intimacy in Him. Do you understand? So these are things that, so it's not a matter of that I just simply got saved and now I got a devotion time. You know, and listen, I'm not faulting you or anyone in that. We've been taught that silly stuff. And the reason we've been taught that silly stuff is because we have to make provisions for not allowing the Holy Spirit really have rule and reign within our hearts or among us. So we need certain disciplines. When really, you don't need those disciplines. What you need is that total surrender of self and then being caught up, the Holy Spirit, into that wonderful, glorious, divine wooing of the Lord, that where that love in Him, Himself, begins to fill your heart, and He satisfies your soul, and there's in your heart, there's just none like him. There's just nobody. And you know, and then you quit longing for other things and tormented by other things that you think by the deceitfulness of lust that you think is really what you need in your heart. Oh, if this would just be. Oh, it just would be that. You know, and we, and God wants to give you and me the desires of our heart. But may I say to you that he first wants you. He wants you. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about right now, where you are, who you are, and everything about you. He wants you. That's what he wants. And when that thing, this type of thing happens to us, and I'm just going to lift that up. This is a mighty open door that comes. And now let me tell you something. In the midst of that, okay, this is when those ingrained issues of heart and practice that we, you know, like, what are we going to do about that? I don't ever change. What is wrong with me? Why can't I ever change? Great, I want to, but I can't find the power to. But you understand the issue is before God is self, not a sin. And in the midst of that, as we give ourselves, the Holy Spirit comes automatically with the clothing of the new self. Because that's the promise of God. That's what Jesus has secured for you and me. When you give up true self, then the Spirit of God comes in and begins to implement the new self. And then see, that's when desires change. That's when perspective change. That's when, I'm kind of bored with that. I used to love that so much. I'm kind of bored with it. I got to get with God. I got to get with the Lord. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be in the presence of God and to be before the Lord. Because, see, the Holy Spirit meets you there. And then the Holy Spirit makes all those things of God alive. Right? He makes them alive. This is what the Lord has for us in him. This is what he has for us in him. And let it be that starting point. Now, let me give you a couple other things, all right? Or, this is going to be number three, is offer yourself to God. That's what I've been talking about in this work of the new self. And then here's number four, is give recognition to the Holy Spirit. Give recognition to the Holy Spirit. You know, I receive you, Holy Spirit, that type of thing. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, you know, that kind of thing. You know, come fill me, Holy Spirit. You know, I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I can show you biblical example after example of talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's very clear. It's very clear. You know, he is the commander general on the ground for the forces of the kingdom of God, all right? He is the commander general. Jesus is the head, right? And you and me, what are we? The body? Are we the body? Yeah. We're the body, you know? And Jesus is the head, so the commands come from Jesus, who's the head, and he's what? He's the head of the church, but the Holy Spirit is the commander general on the ground, okay? He's the commander general on the ground. We are the vessels of Almighty God. God wants to bring great and mighty things. You know, he wants to break the powers of darkness. But he uses the people of God as they take up the weapons of their warfare, which are not carnal, but they're spiritual in nature. You know, see, and through the eyes of your heart, things come alive that your carnal mind cannot grasp. Things come alive that your carnal mind cannot grasp. What do I mean? Like, for example, the command of releasing the word of the Lord in circumstances and situations. Holy proclamations. All that's just words. In the carnal mind, that's true, right? You know? And I'll say something else with this. With this, you're going to be more careful with your, pardon me as I say this, your mouth. Do you want the power of God? Right? You'll find the Holy Spirit choosing or causing you to be more careful with your words. And see, this is how holy people don't get into gossip, right? They don't get into drama. They don't thrive on drama. You know, there's people who thrive on drama. Do you know that? Oh, they just like things to be stirred, right? You know, they get a thrill out of it. I don't understand it, but they do. They get a thrill out of it, right? And they love to do it in church, too, right? You know, we don't have those problems, so praise God, we don't have those problems. You know, but you know how we keep those things out and we stay in oneness and we stay in unity is being holy before the Lord. You know, I mean, somebody might engage you and you just won't engage them back, right? You know, because you don't have a heart for it. You know, and then not only that, but there's something about words that becomes holy to you, you know, to where, you know, you're just not going to rattle stuff off the way you used to. You know, you're just not going to do it. You know, because you see that there's power and authority that's released, right? Kathy, would you all come on? This is the gateway into the eyes of our heart being